36 degrees now in Danville, 30 in Roanoke and Salem, 28 in Appomattox, 30 in Amherst, 32 in Alta Vista, 30 in Bedford and Lynchburg.
Okay, so I sent you a picture of the before and after. So if you want to load it to Facebook to humiliate me, that's okay. Oh,
no humiliation. It just incinerated it. That's all.
We're talking about the flatbread that got burned last night. Yeah. That was our meal. And yeah. And we ate it.
Because it actually looks pretty right. Until you realize what color the flat was supposed to be. And then it's oh my, that's really burned.
Yeah.
So, but the topping looks beautiful. So you got that going
really
for you.
You couldn't taste it.
I guess not.
Through
the bitterness of the incinerated flatbread, or what used to be a flatbread.
She keeps using the word incinerated.
Because it is. I mean, you're lucky you didn't break a tooth off of that thing.
I know. Well, like I said, when you bite into it, it would crackle and parts would fall off. The only thing, the topping was helping hold it together for
right.
the most part.
So, you know, so there was that.
It was drooping. After you'd bite it, it'd break off and droop. You know, so.
Oh my, yeah. Not everybody's a Julia Child.
No,
it's okay.
No,
so we get like a text this morning. Of course, it's Friday. We got Friday Funnies on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Jay said, do you know what person has the worst job in the world? Whoever had to read every word of that American Rescue Plan in
right.
the Senate last night.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that.
Yeah. Yeah. We read it in Pig Latin in the first hour. They're still going.
All right, we. All right, we. It's Leo Gay.
That's probably
that's
what it sounded like.
Latin.
Could
yeah.
you imagine listening to that for 6 hours? But now you were playing something while we were off the air. You got to play that now. Where they were talking about how you know, even though the House didn't meet,
mm-hmm. yeah.
because they were scared. They yeah. were so
it
afraid.
Was scared because Kunan was coming yesterday,
yeah.
coming for all of them.
The rioting was horrible yesterday, wasn't it? I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Nothing happened.
You know, Buffalo,
like we all said.
We called him Buffalo Bill, the guy
right.
with the horns. He actually did an interview with CBS.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And it was great.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And it's, you know. Yeah, he didn't look at all the same. He didn't
I'm
have his
sure.
warp, his hat or his war paint
I'm sure
on.
He didn't.
But,
so while the House was cowering and sucking their thumbs yeah. and holding on to their security blankets, the Senate was actually working.
Yeah, yesterday.
And let me turn you, if I could, to the Senate floor, where they are reading line by line, word by word, pages of the COVID relief bill. Is this going to pass, Ben? I mean, the Republicans are trying to slow it down as much as they can, but ultimately, will they lose the battle in a dramatic tiebreaker?
In addition,
you know, I think that they probably will lose that battle, but isn't it interesting that on a day in which this proposed security threat was taking place, that the House didn't do business, but the Senate did? You know, their members are older. They have every reason to not be working through the night, but they are. And I think that tells you a little something. At a certain point, security theater becomes counterproductive. It actually leads people to question intelligence and to question the authorities and that raise these various issues that should be taken very seriously if they represent legitimate threats. In terms of the COVID relief bill, as you know, a vast majority of the spending that takes place mm-hmm. is not something that would go out this year. It is not targeted directly at COVID relief. It is in response to a lot of different interest groups across the nation. And I think that as much as Democrats have invested time in pushing for it, it doesn't have the same kind of support that I think that they might be expecting. It is something that people like when they hear COVID relief, but if it doesn't actually result in changes in terms of opening schools, people being able to get back to work, getting back to some kind of normalcy, then I think that this will ultimately be viewed by many people with skepticism.
There you go. So they're not doing their job,
but they're doing their job.
It's so weird.
I just, this should not be passed. There's no
oh,
way.
It's bad.
There's no way.
It's really,
this should
really
be passed.
Bad.
And you would think if they had to sit there and listen to how bad all of it was,
right.
that would help them, you know, realize that we can't pass this thing.
Right.
But that's probably not going to happen.
Here's Carl Rove telling us in just a couple of minutes how bad this bill really is.
Taxpayer financing, you give $200 to your candidate, they get a 6-to-1 match by the federal government. But that's not all the bill has in it that's bad, Lawrence. There's partisan control. They forbid the legislatures from drawing district lines and instead, in every single state, turn it over to an unelected, unaccountable committee to draw the borders for state legislative districts and congressional districts. May even be unconstitutional. They have the party that controls the White House controls the Federal Election Commission. Today, it is split between an equal number of Democrats and Republicans. But if it is the White House party, they can control the FEC with a majority of their party members. So Joe Biden would have a majority of Democrats, and they could then have partisan prosecutions. Today, if you want to prosecute somebody, the Democrat and Republican commissioners, at least one Democrat has to agree with the Republicans or one Republican with the Democrats before a prosecution can go forward. And then L groups must disclose their donors if they get involved in politics. Even if they spend a fraction of their total money on politics, they have to disclose all their donors. And the irony is that the Supreme Court in a case called Alabama versus the NAACP said that such groups, 501c4 groups like the NAACP, did not have to disclose their donors in 1954 when the racist attorney generals of southern states were trying to find out who was giving money to the NAACP. So it's really ironic that we'd come to that place. Finally, federal takeover of elections. Outlaws voter ID. You'll have to have an ID if you want to cash a check, get on an airplane. But by God, if you're going to vote, you can't have a requirement of voter ID. It restores voting rights for felons, whether your state wants to or not. Automatic voter registration starting at the age of 16. Online same-day registration expands mail-in and early voting, whether your state wants to do it or not. And it legalizes ballot harvesting, which is illegal today in many, many states. That's where somebody can come and get a ballot from you and turn it in for you, which has been misused in state after state. We had a terrible scandal here where people were, quote, harvesting ballots from people who were disabled. And finally, it limits the removal of names of dead, moved, or non-voters from voter registration rolls. That's just the start of what some of the bad things are in this bill.
So it seems like Democrats are securing their future by doing what they're doing. I mean, these are all the things we heard about before the election even.
Right.
And yet things went the way they did.
Right.
And it's
now they're trying to make it legal.
Right. They're trying to make everything legal.
Even though what you did was illegal.
Right.
So they're trying to come in the back door and make it legal that way. See, we better have some folks standing up and fighting for this.
You better fight. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't care who you are, Republican or Democrat or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is bad for America. It's not a good thing to let that go through.
Right.
And they know full well it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the good news, though. Even though we've had a lot of, I would say, discouraging things happening over the past few months, it seems like a lot of states are stepping up and saying no more. Earlier, we were talking about how the New York Public Library said they're not going to pull those Dr. Seuss books. They don't censor books, so they're not going to do it. And that's in New York.
So
that was good. Mississippi has passed a bill to ban biological males from competing against women. Mm-hmm. That's good news.
Right.
And now we have this story out of Alabama, where a blowout vote there, Alabama Senate makes a hormone therapy surgery for trans kids a felony.
Wow.
The Senate voted overwhelmingly this week to make giving children puberty blockers, hormone therapy, or gender reassignment surgery a felony.
Wow.
They voted 23-4 to approve the measure, dubbed the Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act, sponsored by Shay Chenault. The bill now heads to the State House of Representatives, which has already approved a companion bill. Chenault said children aren't mature enough to make these decisions on surgeries and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is to protect kids. And we talked about this on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They're simply not old enough to make those kinds of drastic decisions.
Right.
Democrats and pro-transgender activists, of course, are outraged by this.
Right.
When faced with the criticism that Republicans were infringing on the ability of people to make their own decisions, Chenault noted that the state bans minors from other substances like alcohol and tobacco.
Right.
But go ahead and get your gender changed. Well, it's all good. It's fine. You're fine.
I mean, being exposed to alcohol, it can be life-altering, But that can be progressive, that it takes time. But this,
right,
boom, can change you right off the bat.
Instantly and permanently.
Right.
And you can't recover. There's right. no recovery group for that.
And we played the Rand Paul stuff last week where he talked about gender, you know, mutilation, mm-hmm. basically changing their physical features at such a young age.
But not
when their
just
brain
that.
Isn't
you're,
developed.
But you're I mean, giving you're just, them hormones.
Well, you're giving them
they're
hormones.
They're not supposed to have.
Right. No, exactly. But if you're going to use the knife on them, that's even...
But it's like, it would be like a 12-year-old saying, I never want to have kids. Having kids would be terrible. Okay, honey, well, let's just go get your tubes tied. And right. then you'll never have to worry about it again.
Right. That's nuts.
You don't make those kinds of decisions
no.
at that age.
Right. Right. No, I'm glad there's some people coming out because it's
so it's good news though, that you hear there are some states, not ours, thank you, Governor Northam, that's doing the right thing mm-hmm. and they're fighting for these children.
Right.
Because that's what it is. It's a fight for these children.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the protecting the girls' sports or protecting these children from wackadoo parents
right.
who are like, oh, okay, little Johnny. You want to be a little Susie? Well, let's just make that happen. Wow. And let's make the government pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well done on you, Alabama. We'll be back. It's Friday. We'll have Friday Funnies on the way.
Can
and
you do
more
the pirate thing?
Of the Yeah, we'll do that when we come
okay,
back.
Okay, that's good.
No problem.
I
we had a
that.
Listener. We had a listener send us a joke.
It was good.
I had to read it and make sure it was clean. Not that no, you would no, send no, me I... jokes that weren't clean, but I'm just saying. Stranger things have happened on this show.
Yeah, no
even
doubt.
This morning.
So. Yeah, even this morning. Yeah, so, yeah, we'll be back. And Rachel Smith coming up in the next half hour. She's from Freedom 424. She'll be checking in and tell us about their organization and the 5K Run for Their Lives coming up.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
A champion of small business and an innovative, proven job creator. An unapologetic pro-life father. Conservative outsider Pete Snyder will fight for our values. Snyder will restore our Second Amendment rights. Stand up for the heroes in law enforcement. Advance President Trump's pro-job policies. And get our children back in the classroom. Pete Snyder is ready to take on the politically correct career politicians in Richmond. At the top of Pete's conservative agenda is a plan to crack down on voter fraud. Here's Pete Snyder.
We need to clean up our elections and stop voter fraud. That's why I support voter ID and verification for all ballots. When I'm governor, I'm going to stop the liberals from rigging the system.
Conservative outsider Pete Snyder. He'll end the liberal policies of Ralph Northam and Terry McAuliffe and put Virginia families first.
I'm Pete Snyder, candidate for governor, and I paid for and authorized this ad.
Times are changing, but at Liberty University, our purpose remains the same: to equip people to go out into the world and make a difference through their calling. Though we are blessed with an amazing campus, our most valuable resource has always been our students and those who inspire them. They are our motivation to continue providing a world-class education founded on biblical principles. Because no matter what, Liberty's mission will always remain the same: training champions for Christ. Learn more by texting EQUIP to 49596.
Making sense of all the nonsense, it's Tom Sullivan.
Dominion, they're suing for $1.3 billion. They said, we're going after Rudy and we're going after Sidney Powell. And there's 2,200 other people that we're going to go after. I presume they're talking about people on social media.
Tom Sullivan, weekdays from 3 to 6 on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I'm glad to be on the road. I'm having some problems at home. I don't mean problems. I have right now a situation I'm dealing with. There is a raccoon living in my chimney. I'm totally serious. We can't get him to leave. You know how I discovered it? This is the worst way to discover it. I heard a noise in my chimney, and so I stuck my dumb head in there. And he took one of his tiny demon hands and grabbed my nose. They have human hands. And so I know what you're thinking. Right now you're just thinking, why don't you just light a fire, right? I can't. Every time I stick a match in there, he goes, that's it. Can't. It's horrible. So I call animal control. I'm like, hey, I have a raccoon. You guys need to come and get it. And the lady goes, we can't come get a raccoon unless they're injured. Oh, yeah. And I was like, well, how do you injure a raccoon? Like, just, do you have a manual? Like, how do I, is it emotional? Just do that? Like, just emotional? Is that I know.
Right. Dude, they do, like, not come get them? If they, unless they're injured?
I would have thought.
I mean, come on. Yeah. You would think they would come. Yeah. Well, because what if it had rabies or something?
Oh, no doubt.
And how could they not come and get it?
Have an animal in your house? You know, you're right. Talking about some serious... My gosh, if my dog saw a raccoon,
I would be cow. I would be so excited, though, if there was a raccoon in my house. I would be like Buddy the Elf. Does someone want a hug? And then I would be calling 911 for me, because I'd probably be injured. So there you go. We've got more Friday Funnies on the way. We did have a listener send in a pirate joke, because our Mind Jam trivia question today asked why a pirate wears an eye patch. Yeah. And he said, this reminds me of an old pirate joke. Since it's Friday Funnies, we thought we'd share this one. Yeah. So a guy walks into a bar, and lo and behold, a real pirate is sitting at the end of the bar nursing his drink. The guy sees that the pirate has an eye patch, a peg leg, and a hook for a hand. Curiosity finally gets the best of him, and he comes and he sits by the pirate and asks, do you mind if I ask you how you got your peg leg? And the pirate says, I lost it in a battle at sea. Cannonball took it clean off. Then the guy asks him, well, how did you get your hook hand? The pirate says, I matey a scallywag cut it off with a sword in a bar fight. Finally, he looked at the pirate and asked him, well, how'd you lose your eye? With a sad look on his face, the pirate said, a seagull pooped in it. Then the guy said, wow, you mean you lost your eye because a seagull pooped in it? That's really weird. Then, as the pirate slowly sipped his drink, he said, aye, it was the first day of me new hook. So that's how he lost his eye. Yeah, okay. Right. He obviously didn't know that, you know, he could wear an eye patch without losing his eye. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But that's why I thought they had eye patches. So
I did too.
Anyway, if you missed our Morning Jam trivia, they wore an eye patch so that they, when they came out from the belly of the ship, their eyes could more easily adjust from light to dark. So the things you learn on this show.
Oh my gosh. It's just, I'm amazed every day.
It's crazy. All right. So we've been talking about some of the big stories of the day, including Cuomo's in hot water again.
Oh yeah. He's definitely, he's on his way, potentially out. Because more and more Democrats are saying, nope, gotta go. You gotta go.
Well, you've got a couple of things going on. You have one of his accusers saying he's evil. I don't forgive him.
Right.
And he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're kind of doubling down, saying this is bull crap. He felt untouchable, she said. Charlotte Bennett discusses allegations in a CBS interview. She said he felt like he was untouchable. 25-year-old former aide to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who accused the 63-year-old of propositioning her for sex during a workplace meeting.
Right.
Without explicitly saying it, he implied to me that I was old enough for him and he was lonely, the 25-year-old said. She said the governor, at the height of the coronavirus pandemic, felt emboldened as his national profile rose amid his daily televised outbreak updates. He felt like he was untouchable in a lot of ways, she said.
Yeah.
She alleged that the governor called her into his office and told her he was lonely and looking for a girlfriend. This man's 63 years old.
Yeah.
She's 25.
Yeah, that's a little age difference there.
In parts of the interview, she reiterated claims she made when she came forward with the accusation. She accused him of asking if age difference mattered, and he told her that he was fine with anyone over 22.
Wow.
The incident happened over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, he's trying to sleep with me. The governor is trying to sleep with me. and I'm really uncomfortable. I've got to get out of this room as soon as possible.
Sure.
So she also ripped into the governor's attempt at a public apology, made as reporters grilled him during the first news conference more than a week Wednesday. It's not an apology. It's not an issue of my feelings. It's an issue of his actions.
Right.
The fact he was sexually harassing me, and he has not apologized for sexually harassing me, and he can't even use my name.
Right. Yep.
He asked if I had trouble enjoying being with someone because of my trauma, she said during the interview. Because she was, she had told the governor she was a sexual assault survivor.
Oh, wow.
And accused him of harping on the aspect of her background. The governor asked me if I was sensitive to intimacy during the workday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was her boss.
Yeah. Wow.
So this is not going to go away. Another former aide accused the governor of forcibly kissing her.
Oh, wow.
Third woman with no professional ties to the governor accused Cuomo of making unwanted advances, touching her, exposed lower back, and asking to kiss her.
Wow.
So.
You know, at least Bill Clinton said, that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Well, that's what he sounded like. I mean, he didn't mention him by name.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bill said that woman, but then he said Miss Lewinsky. He named,
that's, well, that
he
is
named
true.
Her name. So.
Well, Cuomo has so many, he didn't want to name all of them. now, in addition to her coming out and speaking, though, well, I mean,
yeah,
he does.
Yeah,
now, true. Top advisors are saying that Cuomo influenced state health officials to remove data from a public report that showed coronavirus-related nursing home deaths in a state that had exceeded numbers previously acknowledged by the administration. And last night, details about that report were disclosed. The final report focused only on nursing home residents who died inside those facilities. It did not include nursing home residents who were transferred after becoming sick.
Okay.
That means the state's reported tally of 6,432 was significantly lower than the actual number. State officials now place the nursing home and long-term care facility death in New York at more than 15,000 residents.
Okay.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, that is. That's quite a difference. Yeah, that's more than double.
I mean, how is he going to get by with this?
I don't know. I really don't know. And his apology, you know, from the other day.
I now understand.
Mm-hmm.
That I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable.
Of course, this is about his sexual accusers,
right,
not
this.
It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it.
Yeah.
I feel awful about it, and frankly...
Oh, my. How many times did he practice that? I'm going to have my voice break just a little bit right
just
here.
Just a little crackle.
I feel terrible coming on to the sexually assaulted 25-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. If he gets by with this, if he and his brother, for that matter,
come
out with a career, I am going to be pretty shocked.
Mm-hmm. Chris is going to be pumping iron in his basement instead of the CNN, you know, workout room.
He's going to come on to the wrong young lady. I mean, if that were my girl, if that were my Bailey.
Right.
He'd have a whole lot more to worry about than the press.
Because
Mama Jam would be up in that office right there.
Yep.
And that would not
go well. You're going to get the Rose Mafia show up here.
That's exactly
place.
Right. 63 years old. Ugh, so gross.
It is gross.
Don't love it. But that's okay.
Not at all.
Coming up, we're going to have the headlines that we're going to look into for the South Side, for Roanoke and Lynchburg.
Yep.
We also have a special guest coming in.
Yep. We have Rachel Smith from Freedom 424. Our organization's been around for 13 years, and their mission has evolved over the years. But the main thing is that hasn't changed is reaching young ladies that find themselves in difficult situations, whether it's halfway around the world, in Thailand, or even in our own country. We'll talk to Rachel Smith about the Freedom 424 and the 5K race coming up called Run for Their Lives. We'll do that after our deep dive here in just a little bit. CBS News coming at you. It's the Morning Jam. I'm Mark Lamb.
I'm Janet Rose.
Welcome on this Friday.
CBS News Brief. Pope Francis is making a historic visit to Iraq. He arrived in Baghdad today for a three-day visit with leaders, both political and religious, including the top Shiite cleric. He'll urge the country's Christians to help rebuild the country. Here in the U.S., more easing of COVID restrictions. In Connecticut, while some are being relaxed, the mask mandate will remain. And that's okay with this man in Stamford.
I think that we survived long enough that there is no point of rushing.
Senate clerks last night were forced to read aloud the entire stimulus bill, all 628 pages.
Clerk will continue reading.
Grants for rural health care, section 1003.
Republican Senator Ron Johnson said he wanted to shine the light on the amount of money involved. The monthly jobless report will be released shortly. Analysts say employers likely stepped up their hiring as COVID cases declined in February. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Good morning. This is Kimberly McBroom in the WDBJ 7 Newsroom with your Virginia Talk Radio Network news update. Two Seminole District football teams will be out of play for the near future. Jefferson Forest High and EC Glass will not be playing games this week. This comes after potential coronavirus exposure for those teams. However, Lynchburg City School says Glass will still be able to practice in the meantime. The Virginia Employment Commission is hosting a statewide virtual job fair for Virginians looking for employment. A VC spokesperson says more than 400 employers are seeking to fill more than 6,500 positions. The three-day job fair will be held March 9th through the 11th from 1 to 5 p.m. And Travis Griffith has been named as a new Roanoke County Fire and Rescue Chief. He'll start his new role on Monday. Griffith currently serves as Deputy Chief of Operations for the department. I'm Kimberly McBroom. Join me for WDBJ 7 Morning from 4:30 until 7 every weekday morning. And join us from 7 to 9 on WZBJ 24.
So what about your air ducts?
I know you rarely think about them, but they are very important. They circulate the air from your heating and cooling system into and out of each room. In fact, all the air in your home circulates through the ducts multiple times a day. And it's the same air your family breathes. You want this air to be clean as possible. To help your family get ready for spring, Mills Heating and Air Conditioning is offering a 30% savings on a whole house duct cleaning. 30% savings means you save $200 on a professional duct cleaning, assuring your family is breathing cleaner and easier. Log on millsheating.com. And Mills is offering their preseason AC check for only $59, a 50% savings. Mills will check for proper Freon levels, check electrical contacts, check wiring, and more, all for only $59. Log on millsheating.com.
We'll bring comfort to you.
Mills Heating and Air Conditioning.
We bring comfort to you.
If your home's foundation is cracked, buckling, or has bowing walls, it's time to protect your home with Fortress Foundation Solutions. Our local experts will find the source of the problem and restore your home to a safe, functional condition. Contact Fortress Foundation Solutions for your free estimate.
Step into the fast lane Monday through Friday afternoons from 5 to 6 as we talk tech, UVA, Liberty, and more. So join us on the CBS Sports Radio Lynchburg app. Ask Alexa and Google Home stream CBS Sports Radio Lynchburg. And of course, 93.3 FM, 1320 AM Lynchburg.
It's time for your Morning Jam forecast, brought to you by WDBJ7.
Clear skies expected today with a high of 50 degrees. So we'll be on the blustery side as well. Those winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Lows tonight at 25 degrees. Sunshine returning for the weekend with a high of 49 on Saturday. Lows at 26 and near 50 degrees on Sunday and not as breezy. That warmer weather comes back as we head into next week. Look for high temperatures climbing into the 60s.
32 degrees in Lynchburg, 30 now in Roanoke and Salem, 36 in Danville, 34 in Alta Vista.
So we'll have our guest, Rachel Smith, coming up here in just a minute from Freedom 424. She's in the studio right now, and we'll get to her. We're going to do some local stuff here first. 1,700 manufacturing workers set to get vaccines this Saturday. That's in the Lynchburg area. That starts tomorrow at 9 a.m., and that's 1,500 doses already given out to the Candler Station site. But it's going to be the first Johnson & Johnson vaccine given out in this particular area. So that's a good start for Johnson & Johnson.
More than 2 months after an access fee went into effect at boating facilities owned and managed by the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources, officials announced the effective date for that fee would be delayed until the summer of 2022. According to a statement released yesterday, the new boat ramp fee was enacted by legislation during the 2020 General Assembly and initially went into effect on January 1st, 2021, for the department owning boating access sites. Officials say the access fee, which would cost $4 per day or $23 per year, would have applied to those who did not already hold boating registration, fishing license, hunting license, or access permit, who were exempted along with those under the age of 17. They expect to assemble a group of interested stakeholders in the coming months and issue a report of the group's findings as they are looking into avoiding unintended consequences for outfitters, education providers, and for people whom the fee could pose an economic hardship.
Gretna Memorial honors domestic violence victim. It's a one-year anniversary. Loved ones trying to keep a way to keep the memory of this Chatham woman alive. Patricia Harris Tollers was shot by her husband, and then he took his own life. That happened in Gretna. When they talk about Patricia, when she walked into the room, her sister Christina said she lit the room up. So they're memorializing it, and there's a cross set up at the Dairy Queen in Gretna in memory of Patricia.
In Charlottesville, the University of Virginia has decided to forgo in-person graduation exercises for the class of 2021 because of the pandemic. The school said on its website it will hand out degrees to students online and produce an internet-based celebration for students, friends, and families this May. Last year's graduates also received degrees in a virtual ceremony in May, with plans to combine formal ceremonies with the class of 2021.
Some 12 years ago, just to give you a little background for me, I was involved with a Run for Their Lives race. I was asked to MC it. It's so funny. One of the Pettit daughters, I did her wedding, and they were looking for somebody that had a sound system and would be willing to maybe MC it, and it was all for free. And I can't remember which Pettit girl. This is terrible. Maybe you could help me.
Christine,
yeah. Yes. And then she said, Mark Lamb will do it for free. He'll bring his sound system in. And I'm glad she said that, because a relationship began at that point with an organization that has just done wonderful things for almost 13 years. That's Freedom 424. And in the studio right now, we have Rachel Smith. Rachel, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. So Freedom 424, moving along now for almost 13 years. My involvement early on was reaching girls in Thailand. And what they would do is they would give them 24 hours of freedom. They would buy the freedom for this a prostitute in many cases, and they would give them 24 hours and there would be a group of ladies to surround that girl and try to help her with ways she can get out of the lifestyle and some ministries that were already established. And you take it from there.
Sure. So, yeah, we have been a nonprofit for 12 years now. We were started by Christine Pettit, like you said. She was actually a college student at Liberty University at the time and went and did an internship overseas in Thailand, working with an incredible organization, Beginnings Foundation. And they do kind of take that idea of these are women who have been trafficked, who are sexually exploited, working in what is called the red light district of Thailand, which is where those brothels and the prostitution is happening, those bars where the women are working. And so she went and served there and just became passionate about bringing freedom to these girls, about looking the girls in the eyes and seeing just the difference of the freedom that she had, you know, as a college student with a family that loved her, and just what these women were going through and the amazing work that Beginnings Foundation was doing. And so the name came from, she, you know, befriended and grew a relationship with a girl who was trafficked there, and the dollar amount that was put on this girl was about the equivalent of 24 US dollars. And so she kind of took that idea and put it on its head of, if started a t-shirt fundraiser, mm-hmm. selling them for $24 and sending it back to the organization in Thailand just to continue their ministry of serving the girls, of creating a safe place for them. They host a Christmas party to kind of share with the girls who are there the opportunity to leave that life and have freedom. Mm-hmm. And so Christine came here and started a t-shirt fundraiser, started the 5K race, and just sent that money back to Thailand. She didn't feel called necessarily to open a home or do something here, but wanted to help continue that work in Thailand. And since then, our organization has grown, and that's the model we've adopted with partners in Uganda and India and across the United States, of sending them funding, of advocating for them, of working alongside them so that they can continue their work, of a lot of them have safe homes for the girls. They do rescue and restoration work. And then here on the front lines in Virginia and Lynchburg, mm-hmm. we do prevention education specifically.
I got you.
Well, I think it's a marvelous thing that you guys are doing. And it makes me sad that we even have to do
right.
these things. Since Freedom 424 has started, do you have an estimate of how many girls have managed to escape that lifestyle?
Yeah, it's a very complicated and complex issue for sure. So I don't know that I have a head count.
Right.
Exactly.
But they are leaving
but
the
they
lifestyle.
Are, yes, through yeah. our various partners and the work that they do, we have seen so many stories of restoration and mm-hmm. of freedom. And we have those on our website. There's pages where you can go. And anytime we go somewhere, we share those stories of the girls. We know that it is a really dark and seemingly hopeless issue, and it's heavy. And we hope that those girls' stories remind people that there is hope, that freedom is happening, that these girls are leaving and are getting that, you know, second chance at life, really. So I don't know an exact, head count, but we do
have. But it's fair to say thousands.
I hope so.
Yeah. yeah.
I definitely hope so. Yeah. We have incredible stories of just the work that our partners are doing all over the United States, even next door in Roanoke,
right.
In West Virginia, we have partners who are working and mm-hmm. just seeing stories of freedom and hope. And so we do try to focus a lot on that as well.
Tell us how the 5K is going to work this year as far, I believe it's up at Liberty. I know one of the things I'll just mention because the year, I think it was the fourth or fifth year, my wife and I actually participated, and you write
great.
The name of the person on your forearm.
Sure.
And you look at that when you need inspiration. If you have one more K to go, you just mm-hmm.
look down.
Look at her name. And so tell us about the run and what's going to happen this year. I know a few years ago you had multiple runs on the same day, and whether that's still happening or not.
Sure. So in light of COVID-19 and trying to abide by all the guidelines and restrictions, it is a little stripped down this year, mm-hmm. but as of right now, we are having it in person. And so it's April 24th up on Liberty Mountain Drive in front of the indoor track and auditorium building. So we are inviting everybody to come on out and run with us. And we'll have just our 5K race, but we also have a virtual option for people to participate in a virtual 24-mile challenge.
Oh, wow.
So since the race is on 4/24, mm-hmm. which is a perfect date,
yeah. Sure.
We are asking people who maybe don't feel comfortable coming in person quite yet to pick up our virtual challenge starting on April 1st and running a mile every day leading up to the race, helping us prepare, get our community spirits ready for this event.
Sure.
But yes, one of our biggest, as much as it is a 5K, it is to raise awareness and to right. provide education around this issue and empower our community to fight. We believe that everybody has a part to play in ending this injustice. And so in the past, we have given them a story or several stories of girls who have worked with our partners who have found freedom and who represent the millions of girls out there who are still trapped in slavery.
Right.
But this year, we're switching it up a little bit on you. We are really leaning into the work of our prevention education. Okay. We believe that the number one way to combat human trafficking is to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that everyone can do, whether you have kids, if you're a teacher, if you have friends, you have you know, closeness and relationship with people in our community. And that's how traffickers prey on people, is through relationship. And so we can combat that through our relationships. And so we are asking you to pick a name this year. Mm-hmm. Instead of us giving you a name, wow, we want you to pick one of someone in your life that you want to run for, to mm-hmm. make sure that this never happens to, so that exploitation is not a part of their story. Because right. we know that trafficking is happening right here in Lynchburg, mm-hmm. and two kids in our schools, in our neighborhoods. It's happening in our country. And so we want to empower you to pick a name. So when you look down and you see the name of your niece or your daughter, yeah. or, you know, your child's friend at school, you right. remember that we don't want it to get to the point where we're running for that girl because she was trafficked, but right. we get to run because she never was.
Yeah.
And that's really what we want to lean into this year. So we're kind of switching the narrative on you this year and mm-hmm. making you do the hard work yeah. of picking the name to keep you going and remember prevention. And so we'll have an awareness exhibit out there as well mm-hmm. with some really useful tools and resources for people in any walk of life to learn how they can prevent it and give them some tangible next steps and actions.
On the prevention side, if I'm a church or a community organization and I want to have you guys come in
sure.
and speak, I assume you guys have a presentation you do for different organizations. Tell us a little bit about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so we have, you can go on to our website, freedom424.org /educate, and we have so many options. We go into school, so we have lots of different programs for youth specifically. We have parent workshops that we do, and we also have occupation-specific training. So okay. no matter what kind of business you're in, you have a role to play.
Sure.
If you're a church, if you're a school, if you're a bank, mm-hmm. anything. And so we also tailor that specifically to your business and how you might interact with trafficking and how right. you can specifically stand against it. And so we'll come out. It's free. And we'll give you the education and the training that you need. So you can just fill out a form on our website.
We okay. have put your link to your website
perfect.
Up on our Facebook page, so it'll make it super easy for people to find you. You can find out how you can participate in that virtual race that you're talking about. Maybe start thinking about the young girl that you would like to run for. I think all of us have daughters and daughter-in-laws and right. nieces and grandbabies out there that we want to pray that never happens to them. So thank you for the hard work that you're doing. Thanks
absolutely.
For joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on WIQO, part of the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
How much time do you spend listening to this station, driving to and from where you need to be? Getting your daily news, traffic, weather, and entertainment is something you only get from local radio. So if you're a small business owner or decision maker, it makes sense to talk directly to those that live and work right in your own neighborhood. All of us are looking forward to this year being one of opportunity and regrowth. Your message on local radio gives your customers the confidence to move forward. Advertising on this station lets you talk one-on-one with listeners who appreciate the same things you do. Local news, information, and programming that matters right here at home. We're all looking forward to a better 2021 with businesses fully open and thriving. Advertising on this station promotes your business in a way that reaches out to listeners, like neighbors and friends, as a trusted brand your customers believe in. So next time you're looking for a creative, cost-effective way to reach people in your community, call us for messages that are live at home and close to home. This message paid for by the Virginia Association of Broadcasters.
What does a Fed rate cut mean for consumers? Here's Sherry Brady with Apex Home Loans.
Home equity lines of credits would be immediately affected by this. Credit cards, any of your adjustable rate student loans, you will see a quarter of a point reduction in those rates. If you are in an adjustable rate mortgage, my first recommendation is that you get out of it. This is a great time to just refinance that adjustable rate mortgage into a fixed rate at an awesome low rate. But if you feel like it's still safe for you to to stay in that adjustable rate, then you will likely see no increase in that rate when your next adjustment comes along. If you are currently in a mortgage, and I'm going to say if your rate is over 4.75%, then it would behoove you to give us a call and see whether or not you could benefit from a refi. Our phone number, 434-237-1027.
Apex Home Loans, NMLS number 2884, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Hi, folks. This is Gary with Green Energy. Just wanted to come to you. I know you're cold this winter. Electric bill's going up. Heat pump staying busy. In the summertime, it's going to be even worse. You're going to get hotter, and your heat pump's going to not keep your house cool. You want to know why? Fiberglass insulation does not insulate your house. Besides that, most of you don't have even half of what you're supposed to, and even though it doesn't work, we have the Radiant Barrier Insulation I've been talking to you about for over 11 years. If you want to join the people whose houses were warm and their electric bills have gone down 40-50%, give me a call, 434-546-0152. Again, 434-546-0152. Y'all take care now.
Jessica's overweight. She weighs more than she should for a cat, which sucks, because when people come over, no one blames the cat in that scenario. You know what I mean? No one comes over and goes, "What happened here, sweetheart? A little heavy on the carbs?" No, they look at you and they go, "What'd you do to her?" And that's not fair, because I try. We have the laser pointer. I got the stick with the feather. I'm always running around my house. "Come on, sweetheart, let's get the cardio going." She's not that into it. My wife and I, we bought diet formula kibble. They make diet formula kibble, and they have rules. Just one cup per day, because you're on a diet, Jessica. We tried. But then at 2 in the morning, Jessica would come into our bedroom at night, climb onto our bed, and then stand on my head. 22.5 pounds of her, you guys, on my skull. And she would come down into my ear and just go, "Meh! Meh!" And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. This diet is over." I had no idea that's how you felt about it. I apologize.
That's true, though.
I am getting up right now and cooking you some bacon. Let's get after it.
It's true.
Yeah.
They will let you know.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't like that food you're giving them. And people do blame you. If you're
Oh, I know.
If your dog or cat is out overweight, mm-hmm. you get blamed for it.
Right.
As a matter of fact, some of the dog moms in the neighborhood
right.
will say, "Dallas is getting too fat."
Really?
He's just eating too. Well, I mean, we are almost up to 100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Or like 99 point something.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
All right.
So I haven't been giving as many of the milk bones, and he's on to me.
All right.
So he's just like, I tried to give him a carrot this week, and he's like, "This is crap." And he just spit it in the floor. All the other dogs were eating it up, and he was like, "No, I'm not doing it.
Wow.
You bought me milk bones. I know you have a 7-pound bag of milk bones in that box right there." So, anyway,
wow,
there you have it. So, have you seen the videos and the pictures of the migrants arriving at the Mexican border? They look like, I don't know, like they're ready to go on a field trip or a cruise.
Well, it's like a Joe Biden concert or
people,
something.
When people wear the, so they don't lose each other on the cruise ship.
Yeah, they wear the same shirts.
Yeah. That's what it looks like. So, and they have face masks that are printed as well.
Oh, does it have Biden's name on it?
Mm-hmm.
It says,
"Biden, please let us in."
Wow.
A large number of migrants photographed near California wearing the Biden t-shirts.
Okay.
The photographs were taken on Tuesday on the Mexican side of the border.
Right.
As they were crossing port in Tijuana.
Uh-huh.
So, no word on where they've gotten the shirts from. The president is working to process as many as 25,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Who were forced to wait in Mexico under the Trump administration's Remain in Mexico policy. They called them 25,000 asylum seekers.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm.
Biden has promised to accept more refugees in the country during his time in office and implement more humane policies.
What a guy.
Yeah, he was such a great guy. Such a proposal to pay for the transportation and health care cost of migrant families who were separated at the border under the Trump administration.
Wow.
And held in cages built by Biden and Obama. So, well, but yeah, they've got all these. And it's interesting to me because, you know, many times when you see people who are escaping dangerous circumstances, they're kind of emaciated and
yeah.
they're dirty
they
and starving.
Good.
These are some chunky immigrants. I mean, I'm wow. just saying. What?
No, I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they haven't missed any meals
right,
here.
Right.
I don't.
No,
I
got you.
I don't understand what's going on.
Well, speaking of cages,
we've probably been feeding them for the past year. Oh my word!
Speaking of cages,
yes.
Do you have the story on the they're giving coronaviruses vaccines to the gorillas? Do you have
what is that about?
Did you see that story?
Why are we can't even get the vaccines?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can't even get them to the right people.
I know.
Why are we giving vaccines? Can they even get?
Well, apparently gorillas are afraid of needles too.
Oh,
this is one of the reactions, and then shortly thereafter it was this. That's the gorilla throwing his feces.
Feces?
Feces. At the doctor.
Okay.
That white lab is just covered in brown.
They have had an outbreak of COVID at the San Diego Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
So now the San Diego Zoo gorillas are getting COVID vaccines. What on earth?
And then you had that effect, that sound effect you said was the gorilla, right? It was a
that is not a gorilla, and you know it. That is
doesn't it sound like one? There, listen, that, listen.
I'll tell you what it doesn't sound like. It doesn't sound like what it is.
I know.
That is a pug dog, and its mom's trying to trim his nails.
It is the funniest video.
And before she even gets to the nail,
I know,
he is screaming like a girl. I'm going to put that on our Facebook
page.
You got to
put that on. I mean, this is what the dog did when she was bringing
the
clippers towards him.
Right. Wow.
And I mean, the face. You know why I laugh even harder is because remember on the first Men in Black, that pug that was
he
was the big dog.
Right.
And he was like one of the head aliens.
Right.
And this is what this dog looks like.
He
that
does,
dog.
But he is the biggest wimp.
I might.
When it comes. I am going to post
you
that.
You got to post it. It's hilarious.
It is funny.
That could be your Friday funny. Just look at that every now
so
and then.
So it's not one of the apes at the San Diego Zoo.
Right.
It's actually a pug.
Like
he's a little punchy this morning, guys. So 9 of the apes have been given an experimental COVID-19 vaccine
right.
after an outbreak. 5 bonobos, and 4 orangutans became the first great apes to receive jabs.
You said 5?
Against the disease.
So that's 5 illegal aliens that didn't get their vaccine jab.
That's right. And 5 Americans who didn't get their vaccine.
Yeah.
Maybe this one's developed by U.S. veterinary pharmaceutical companies for use in animals.
Okay.
So, all right.
Well, you know.
Who knew?
If you believe that evolution
thing. Who knew
the
gorillas could get COVID?
I did.
Yeah, if it's evolution, can't they just get the same vaccine we do?
I think so. The DNA should be there.
Huh. Science deniers.
Daggone it.
We'll be back.
Arr!
At the top.
I'm going to put my patch back on and listen to the dog scream.
Oh, my word. Did you have caffeine?
No, I didn't. I'm not even finished with my vitamin C
drink
yet.
Well, don't start it now. We'll be back, folks. Hope you're having a great Friday so far. I'm Janet Rose.
And I'm Mark Lamon. I know who's not having a good Friday.
Poor puppy. Traumatized.